The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So let's continue with the theme of possibly relaxing the restrictions that are upon us at present. And let's talk about the restaurant industry, which of course is going to be able to open up in 4 weeks' time, but with very strict regulations in place about a 2 metre distance between tables. Patrick O'Kane is the co-owner of Fire Restaurant at the Mansion House in Dublin, also the Soul Fish Restaurant. Patrick, thank you very much for joining us. Is that going to be feasible for you to reopen with a 2 metre gap between your tables?
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, hard to believe we're 10 weeks closed and another 3 or 4 to go. The reality of it is, look, we've looked at this in great detail. The reduction of our table layout and customer seating by 40% is to ensure comfortable social distance between our guests and service protocols. But that's based on a minimum of 1 metre. So whatever chance we've got at 60% occupancy at 1 metre, we have no chance at 40% of our tables and chairs. So no is a simple answer. Businesses can't open up that. I don't think won't open up or won't survive it. And we believe there are so many other ways that we can support with comfortable social distancing within our restaurants without this strict 2 metre, which is just totally unviable and, in my opinion and the opinion of the World Health Organization, unnecessary.
You've got a big room in Fire. How many would you have taken up until now at any full service?
So we're a 280-seater restaurant, including our private dining, and we will come down to 150 in and around 108 in the main dining room. So it's a huge decrease, but unfortunately, you know, you look at the way we do business on Saturday nights and doing two-seating policy. That's where we negotiated rents and our cost base and our business plan is based around, not on 60% or indeed a 40% of capacity in use. So that just doesn't make any sense. I suppose we're lucky in Fire and indeed in Seoul where, you know, we have high ceilings. It's a large building. We don't have ventilation, etc. So we have we use natural ventilation as opposed to air conditioning. So we have a lot of benefits over other restaurants and businesses. We've got the ability to get customers feeling safe and build their confidence. But in the end of the day, the model, the employment, how we do business, could not survive on only 40% of our occupancy, which would take us down, you know, into, if it was two metre, you know, we're in the 80 odd seats, which just couldn't work, Matt.
Much as anything else, it would remove a lot of the atmosphere for people who like going to busy restaurants rather than ones that are funereal. So who would you expect your customers to be if you are in a position where you're able to reopen?
Yeah, look, we're looking at measures. We strongly believe that, you know, customers and consumers have been through so much recently. So they will police where they feel safe when they walk into a building, whether it's retail or hospitality. They'll make a decision whether they're comfortable and happy here and feel safe. So they're going to be the key policer of this. So we're a strong believer that we need a level of unobtrusive measures to help protect customers and colleagues while maintaining a hospitality experience. And that's so important when people go out that they feel, you know, I'm out for the night, I haven't been out in so long, etc. And so on. So initially, Matt, the customers are going to be, we are going to so rely on our domestic market, we're going to rely on our own for so long, and that could be right up into the spring of next year.
Because sorry, Patrick, at the moment, or up until you had to close down, would you have done a lot of tourist business, people coming in, city centre locations, strolling around or having made a booking, coming in to you? And if it wasn't the tourist, how important would business clientele be, perhaps customers who might be bringing clients out for a lunch or for a dinner to try and do business?
Yeah, most Dublin or urban restaurants would operate around a 50-50 client base, so 50% domestic and 50% international. If I take you back to the recession in 2009, I remember when it reached Dawson Street and Fire on March, and we automatically lost 20% of our business virtually overnight, and spend went down, etc. However, by that Christmas, 10% were back, and we were in growth ever since. And we were lucky in Dublin, the urban areas, because of the business traveller that still came, the cosmopolitan side of Dublin, etc. They're not here this time, or they won't be here in any great numbers for a period of time. So while I'm reasonably confident that, that the domestic and the Irish market will come back out when we reopen and for the summer and will be a good support at the weekends, etc., where the business Monday to Thursday, September to November, etc., is going to come from, I have no idea. Even with the reducing numbers, and that has that will have a bearing on reducing spend as well versus corporate accounts versus private accounts, and that takes us into Christmas as well. You know, with all these restrictions, etc., where does that take us in relation to numbers, which is a key time of the year for restaurants, both urban and rural.
What about staff? There's a couple of issues that strike me about staff. One is staff safety, about making sure that they are not infected, but also, how many of them can you afford to have, and will they regard it as being worthwhile? Because if you have such a drop in your own revenue, that would imply that the amount of tips that are going to staff are going to drop dramatically as well.
Yeah, well, firstly on safety, it's key. Like, we made a decision. We've about 125 full-time team. We've stayed loyal and committed to 90 of them through this with the support of the government scheme and top-up. Because it took us years to get to that situation, to build up the level of staff and team we were around it. So their safety has to come first. So we're looking at, from the staff perspective and with their buy-in, we're going to look at daily temperature and health checks and working with them around that. We're looking at staff facilities in relation to entrances and new bike parking and start and finishing time within staff changing areas. And we've actually moved our canteen facilities out as well. We've got to look at new kitchen flows in relation to procedures and how many chefs can be in a kitchen at one time. And our executive chef, Richie Wilson, is working tirelessly with his team on that. There's the ongoing internal and external training that comes with all of that. So we need the staff to have the confidence in the first place that they're, you know, happy to return to work, that they feel part of it. And we've looked at a lot of areas behind the scenes and indeed including front of the scenes. And one of the key implements we're going to bring is we're engaging dedicated and highly trained staff to constantly clean surfaces and touch points with increased frequency, both front and back of house. And the huge big difference there, again, Matt, to businesses, that's something traditionally that the barman checked the toilets every half an hour or the receptionist and so on and so forth. We now believe, because customers will demand that level of customer confidence and staff for trust, is we've got to bring in personnel that will look at that and that will do that job specifically. We'll understand the different agents for different cleaning surfaces and material. So it's quite complicated. Microbiology coming into a level we never thought we'd see it at, but with no alternative to be around that. The protocols we put in to have the confidence of our staff and of our customers, we're going to have to strictly adhere to in both front and back of house for the well-being. So that's going to take a separate team representative to look after that again. And again, it's additional cost of how we move that on. So the huge concern, we won't be able to employ the amount of people we've employed before. We're going to do our best. And it's the uncertainty, Matt, as well. We don't know what's going to happen on the 29th of June. We don't know what's going to happen on the 1st of September. I've never found myself in business before, even coming through recessionary times and foot and mouth. You had an idea where this was going or where the roadmap was. We don't have one this time. That's nobody's fault. It's just that the situation we find ourselves in, which is particularly difficult. So, look.
Well, then one last one to you. Yeah. What about state support? Because you have so many bills. At the moment, you have a situation whereby, okay, there'll be a deferral of tax payments and whatever, and maybe the rates. But there are many other bills, insurance. How are you going to manage? Do you need some sort of financial assistance from the government to get going again?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Matt. There's, you know, government is hugely important, but it can't everything be about direct government subvention. I think we've all got roles to play. And if I can just give you a few examples around that I think collective industry or collective thinking is needed. So if I take the one on rent, you know, we talked about it earlier. When we negotiated rents on our property, it was based on the seating numbers we can come in, the business model that was there and how we can do it. That's obviously different now. We're in the new now. We've got to need it. We need going forward that base rents will have to reduce and uplifts are there for landlords on increased sales. So as we get businesses back on track, landlords' rent gets back on track. So in recession, you're trying base rents plus uplifts come back into play. They need to come back into play immediately, and it is a solution to it. On items like rates, you know, while we welcome 3 months of a write-off, it doesn't even cover the time we're closed. So that it's a welcome start, but it needs to move up to a minimum of 12-month write-off on rates, not a holiday. And having said that, central government are going to have to step up and support local authorities, because never before do we need the local authorities to clean street, nightly disinfect it. So they're going to need funding from it as well. If I look at VAT, I'm of the view, I don't believe zero VAT is necessarily the correct measure, and is not sustainable in the long term. But we all have to play our part. We cannot survive on 12.5% and 23%. So I would love to see food and service coming from 12, service charge coming down from 12.5% to 5%. And yes, I did say service charge, because the staff funds, we give all our service charge to our staff. They get hit for 12.5% VAT. So that's potentially one for 0%, but a minimum 5% and beverage to come from 23% to 12.5%. And I do say 5%, Matt, because it's my understanding that the government can implement without going to Europe. If we want a 0%, they do need to go to Europe on that. A couple of other things on that, like, I mean, the revenue holiday, you know, it's welcomed again, but it needs clarity. For example, it's not clear whether the January and February VAT bill, which is due out at the moment, will fall underneath that. March and April does, but funny, most of us didn't trade in March and April or May and June, so that's kind of irrelevant to it. So we need clarity around that. We need more than a holiday. We need businesses who are being closed or revenue has been down by more than 50%, we'll need a write-off there, and we need that drive on. So it's a start and needs to move on. Banking, you know, banks have been working with our businesses, it has to be said. We have a three-month moratorium. There's another three-month coming to six, which will take us up to the 1st of September. However, we are going to need more support from banks. For example, fire. We just completed a 1.1 million interior design and technology upgrade on the early March, just before shutdown. So our customers haven't had the opportunity to see it yet as part of our 15-year business celebration. We had to borrow based on that. So we will, but we appreciate that banks have to survive too, and they have to make a profit, and they have shareholders. So we need to move into an interest-only basis from the 1st of September for 12 or 18 months for businesses that are struggling. Because, as I said earlier, the alternative, unfortunately, is liquidation, and none of us want that. And the final one I'd bring up is insurance. And thankfully, we're starting to see some progress here in both our restaurants. We've seen a 30 and 50% from our insurer on reduction in the policy. Now, that came after a lot of pressure, Matt, because the initial reaction was, we'll deal with it at the end of your financial year when we know your turnover and we know your labour. That was no good to us, because we had to pay a very high premium, pay it out cash flow, and hope we might get it back at the end. But through a lot of lobbying at our own insurance company, they've worked with us. So that's an area which we believe government can help with the insurance industry and put pressure on, that they come back and support industries by competitive insurance policies based on the new now, as opposed to what our turnover was looking like in February.
Lots of ideas there. I wonder how many of them could be applicable to many other, not just restaurants, but all sorts of businesses all over the country. Padraig O'Kane, thank you very much from Fire Restaurant in Dawson Street in Dublin for joining us here on The Last Word of Today FM. And we're joined now by Lisa Eccles, who is the Vice President of the Irish Hairdressers Federation, which has been lobbying to try and get back in business earlier than the 20th of July, which is as the initial plan goes for that particular sector. Lisa, there's been suggestions as how many people have appointments made for hairdressers and barbers for that date who would like to get in earlier?
Hi, Matt. I'd say a phenomenal amount of people that want to get in earlier. I think even from the minute we closed, we had people saying, can you please put me on a waiting list for as soon as you get back open? First of all, I mean, what we really want to speak to the government about is the fact that across Europe, the guidance has been for hair salons to open after 6 to 8 weeks of closure in much earlier phases. Most of our members actually closed on the 14th of March. So to this point, we've been closed for 10 weeks. So the government wants us to be closed a total of 18 weeks, which far exceeds what has happened across Europe. And we really just don't understand, considering we have very high levels of health and safety in salons, and we feel like we can be very capable to get open in a safe manner on the 29th of June.
Yeah, but we've been talking about 2 metres social distancing, 1 metre social distancing. When it comes to hair cutting, it's zero social distancing. Surely that means it should be towards the back of the queue for resumption.
Yeah, I think so. There are lots of ways that we can operate in a safe manner. Like hand hygiene is the one thing that, you know, the government has constantly said is so important. We have the facilities to be able to wash our hands very regularly in hair salons. We can encourage our clients to do that. We can have hand sanitizers to hand as well. We generally work from behind the client as well. So you're actually working from behind the chair. You're not directly face on with clients. So we feel that we can confidently work in a very safe manner. We just want some clarity from the government on getting those guidelines together.
How many people are employed in the industry and how many do you think will be employed on return? Because it has been suggested that the throughput in salons will drop because of the PPE requirements.
Yeah, there's a lot of worry about that at the moment, Matt, in the industry, because, you know, we as the Irish Hairdressers Federation, we are hearing from people on the daily who have said that the longer the closure goes on, the less likely that they are going to be able to open their business. So currently we employ upward of 25,000 people in the industry. So there's a real concern there that an awful lot of these people will not be able to get back to work as salons close due to the mounting bills that they're facing.
Okay, what sort of reaction are you getting? Is it the Department of Health or the Department of Business you're dealing with?
We've had meetings with both. So we're just trying to get them to look at the recommendations and the guidelines that we've put in. We've spoken with health and safety experts. We've worked with other organisations. We've worked with the Irish Spa Association, who brought on board their chief medical officer to put together some protocols as well. So we feel really confident that if they can look at our protocols and our guidelines, look to Europe as well for how Europe has operated with hair salons opening in earlier phases, that they can see that we are a socially responsible industry. We are more than capable of getting open earlier, and I think we're very valuable in the community, Matt, as well. Like the mental health issues, I know people might think, like, you know, for hair salons that it's not really relevant, but a lot of people often associate, you know, how they feel with how they look, and, you know, getting your hair done can give you that bit of a boost, can really help your mental health, and I just think we're a really valuable service to have back open in the community.
Lisa Eccles, thank you very much for joining us here on The Last Word at AFM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.